Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate for president was in Marion County recently. Let's go in-depth with former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley.
Bob, Martin O'Malley.
Governor O'Malley, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for coming out to meet me on our visit to Knoxville. Really, really appreciate it, and thank you for your flexibility in rescheduling the interview we should have done on that day.
Well, and the reason we didn't do the interview is that you had a decent-sized crowd, a lot of questions.
Yeah, that was a good crowd. Every place we've gone, knock on wood, we're getting good crowds like that of good people who actually have a lot of roots in their community and go to their caucus and know the networks. And so I'm very encouraged. I've enjoyed it. So far, we've made it to 20 of the 99 counties. We just keep going.
And where are you today?
Today, I had to be mostly in Des Moines. The AFL-CIO had their presidential forum today and was asking each of us questions. Except the inevitable front runner. Where's the inevitable front runner today? Well, I don't know where she is, but the rest of us were here.
All right. Well, could you tell us a little bit about your background? People here are just getting to know you, as you know. Could you talk a little bit about your background and some of the things that you think that you've been able to do as a governor of Maryland and before that, mayor of Baltimore?
Sure. Thank you. I guess the most important thing about my background is that I was raised by two of the most loving and generous people God ever put on the planet. My parents, Tom and Barbara O'Malley, were born into the Depression, but became part of that great generation of Americans that won the Second World War. And they taught all six of their children, of whom I was the third, to love God, to love our country, and to love one another. And so I have had the great honor to have been able to serve in elected capacities on the Baltimore City Council, but then as the only candidate in this race with 15 years of elected executive experience and delivering results, results that made our city better, results that made our state stronger. And in this run for president, I run for one reason and one reason only, and that is that I understand that leadership matters and that if we're going to fix the challenges that we confront that has wages going stagnant for the vast majority of us, an economy that no longer works well for most of us, and we're going to have to start doing the things that we know works to make wages go up, to make college more affordable for families instead of selling our kids now with a mountain of debt, to increase the minimum wage, pay overtime pay for overtime work, and make the investments in America's clean energy future that will actually put people to work and give our children a safer and healthier prospect at life. So these are the things that I'm talking about in the course of this campaign, and that's a little bit about my background. If you want me to go deeper, I'm glad to do that. You want to talk about Baltimore? You want to talk about Maryland? Or?
I think that people will be interested in some of the things that you believe were successes in Baltimore. I believe that you spoke the other day about, let's just say, education, for example, and economic development. Why don't we just touch on those?
Sure. As an elected executive, I served as the mayor of a big American city. And I ran in 1999 at the age of 36. Not because things were going well in our city, but because we were in last place when it came to violent crime and addiction, and we had lost more population than any other major city in America. I ran that summer and called my neighbors together across all sorts of divides of race and class and place to put our city on a track for a safer future. And Baltimore went on to achieve the biggest reduction in Part 1 crime of any major city in America. And in ushering in those turnaround years, we also brought forward a new and better way of governing, of measuring performance, of using technology to not only set goals, but to show everyone whether or not the actions we were taking were moving us to our goal or not. In other words, whether the things we were doing were actually working. And then we called it CityStat at the city level. And then at the state level, we applied it enterprise-wide there as well, and called it StateStat, timely, accurate information shared by all, relentless follow-up. And we used that to achieve a number of important things. We were the only state to go 4 years in a row without a penny's increase to college tuition. And we also made our public schools the best in America for 5 years in a row, according to Education Week magazine. Not only by measuring performance, but also by doing more for our schools rather than less. During my time as governor, even though we were making bigger cuts than had ever had to be made before to our state budget, we nonetheless made record investments in K-12 education, increasing funding by 37% during my 8 years. And our parents and our teachers and our kids did not let us down. The report came out just yesterday or today saying that Maryland's high schools are the best in the nation. And so I believe that progress is a choice, and I believe our government should actually work. And I have proven at both the city level and the state level that I'm capable of making big, sometimes unresponsive organizations deliver results for the people that actually pay their taxes and expect their government to work.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Democratic candidate for president, Governor Martin O'Malley. Let's go back to the minimum wage for a little bit. I've got a friend in town that runs a small business, a restaurant, and somebody brought up, well, we need to raise the minimum wage. And he says, okay, we can raise the minimum wage. Which one of the girls do you want me to fire? Referring to, well, the number of young ladies that work there for him. What would you say to him? Which of the girls do you want him to fire?
Yeah, the same argument was made to us when we raised the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour in Maryland. And we didn't see any firings take place. On the contrary, what we saw was the truth that our parents and grandparents understood, that the more workers earn, the more money they spend, and the more the economy grows. And so you've seen, I'm in favor of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, however we can, wherever we can. And I recognize that a lot of the movement will happen first in the big metro economies of our country. You've seen it happen already in like New York and Los Angeles, Seattle, Washington. And in none of those places has it resulted in everybody laying everybody off because they can't afford to pay anybody anything anymore. When we were having the debate in our own state, I went to a place where I often took my 12-year-old son and his buddies, especially after soccer games or baseball games or the like. And Mr. Sammy there, after offering to comp me my pizza and wings for the boys, said, Mr. Governor, I need to talk to you about this minimum wage. If you raise the minimum wage, it's going to put me out of business. And I said, Sam, I appreciate where you're coming from, but it's not going to put you out of business. I did turn down the free pizza he offered, and maybe he did have to put another 25 cents or 50 cents on the pizzas, but it certainly is not the sort of increases that ever killed our economy during the better arc of the 40 to 60 years that our parents and grandparents always raised the minimum wage. It's not the single thing, though. There's other things we need to do to make our economy work again and work for all of us and grow. We're a consumer-driven economy. So the mountain of debt that we're saddling our kids with for graduating from college is outrageous. It's a roundabout tax, really, since we borrowed the money from our federal government, and our federal government's charging families 8%, 7%. It's easier to finance a car or a home than it is to send your kid to college. We're paying overtime pay for overtime work, making it easier for workers to join unions and bargain collectively rather than harder, making it easier for women to fully participate in the workforce by extending paid family leave. These are all of the things. And in every generation, our country has found ways and taken actions to include more of us more fully in the economic, social, and the political life of our country. That's what makes our economy grow, and that's what makes us the land of opportunity. We need to return to our true selves and act like Americans again so that our kids can enjoy greater opportunities than we've enjoyed.
Well, how about health care? Do you have any thoughts on health care, making it better?
Sure. I was an advocate for the Affordable Care Act, and I still am. We were the last industrial nation to step up and find ways to make sure that everybody could obtain decent, affordable health care. But right now in our country, we have there's a couple of graphs that are moving in the wrong direction. Healthcare costs more in the United States than any other country, and we get worse results than 26 other advanced nations. What we found in our state was that the Affordable Care Act allowed us to actually start reducing avoidable hospital admissions, which is the biggest driver of healthcare costs. Our neighbors who suffer from chronic conditions and those conditions being poorly treated leads to their readmission after readmission back into our hospitals, and that drives up rates for everyone. So in our state, with a Medicare waiver, we moved all of our acute care hospitals to global payments for their Medicare and Medicaid patients. And that means that now, last year, they were able to get away from fee-for-service and start actually focusing on the things that improve the wellness of their patient pool. So instead of paying our hospitals as if they were giant sick hotels where they make more depending on how many bed nights they keep filled in the course of a year, we pay them a capitated rate, and then they are able to actually save dollars and better care for patients. And last year saved $100 million in avoided Medicare costs in our state. That's the future, and I think that's where healthcare across the country is going. Better coordinated care, dialing up the wellness. Instead of treating the disease, we focus on wellness, and we'll get better outcomes at lower costs.
Could you discuss briefly or share your thoughts on this Planned Parenthood controversy that's so much in the news lately?
Sure, I can share this much with you. I know that already there are federal restrictions in place that do not allow federal dollars to go to abortion, notwithstanding the loud chatter about defunding Planned Parenthood. Most of the work that Planned Parenthood does is on preventive health for women. And so I think that this, I know that this is an issue that divides a lot of people, and I know that this is an issue that is now being debated in Congress, but I think it is wrong-headed to cut off funding to Planned Parenthood, especially when we know that none of the federal funding can go to abortion, and we know that 97% of what they do is actually preventive health care that women need.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Democratic candidate for president, Governor Martin O'Malley.
We have a lot of agriculture in our own state of Maryland as well. We rank, I think, eighth in terms of poultry among the states. People think of Maryland or some of those eastern states as very densely populated, no farms. And that's true about that 95 corridor in our state. But actually, western Maryland, southern Maryland, eastern shore, is all agriculture. And I have had a lot of experience working with our agricultural communities, preserving family farms, working with farmers to implement best practices so that our streams and our rivers don't die. We have a big estuary of the Chesapeake Bay that runs through our state, and its health is affected greatly on the western shore by density of population and urban and suburban development and sprawl. And on the eastern shore and the southern Maryland, it's affected primarily by the agricultural sector. So working with farmers, implementing best practices, doing the things that work, making farming more profitable, promoting buy local programs, making sure we make the investments in our rural economies, including our schools and our roads and our infrastructure, doing rural broadband that connected every one of our counties with robust rural broadband in the first 2 years of my administration. These are all things that we did in our state, and I'm impressed with what I've seen happening in your state, especially with regard to wind and wind energy, and in some of your towns that I had not visited for many, many years. You can tell that people have taken a lot of care to some of those main streets, and those squares are really, really beautiful and looking very strong.
Well, now, as we close, could you contrast yourself a little bit with respect to the opposition? Why are people that are thinking about, the other candidates, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, those are the main candidates, why should they look at you and see what you've done and maybe caucus for you?
Because I am the only candidate in this race that is not only making progressive promises, I've actually accomplished progressive things and delivered progressive results that have made the families of my state stronger and better. It's one thing, I'm the only candidate in this race with 15 years of executive experience as a big city mayor and as the governor of the state through a recession. I had to make not only the tough decisions and the tough budget cuts, but I also have a track record of making the investments that made our economy grow and allowed us to create not only to keep the AAA bond rating, but the highest median income of any state in the nation. And difficult issues that others talk about doing, I've actually done, whether it's raising the minimum wage, whether it's passing marriage equality, passing the DREAM Act, repealing the death penalty, and many, many others, making the investments in our infrastructure and our roads. These were never things that were terribly easy, but they were things that were very important to the quality of life we share and the common good we share. And experience matters. So I'm the only candidate in this race with the experience of delivering results that benefited all the families of my state.
Thanks to Governor Martin O'Malley for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.